everybody. Sitting here with Michael Doe. Hail Xenu! Hail Xenu.
That's our new good morning now. Hail Xenu.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why not?
You pathetic Thetans. Yeah, this is Benjulet. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller.
866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Or write Gmails in at penradio@gmail.com. PENNRADIO. gmail.com. Lot to talk about today, man. Mostly I want to talk about. I like to have two subjects. See, I tried to do that a while ago, a week ago, then it all fell apart. Okay, but now I'm going to start again.
So excited about so many other things.
I know. I get off on tangents. But I've got a lot to talk about today. But if you want to call in, the big subjects today are what is patriotism?
Yeah.
That's a real one. That's a real one. What is patriotism and patents? I want to talk about patents. It's the P day.
It's the P day. We just start going with letters.
P day. So it's patriotism and patents because you know that I have a patent.
You do have a patent.
And that becomes important because today I'm doing a photo shoot with...
Okay. Well, I've got the iBook G4, so I'm a little slower. Sorry.
Well, neither one of us has the Intel, right?
Exactly.
What is it, the MacBook or something? We don't have that yet, but we'll have that soon. I'm going to find somebody on staff to give the PowerBook to, and then I'll have an excuse to buy a new one.
Well, hey, that would be me, wouldn't it? Am I on staff?
There's other people on staff.
All right.
See who sucks up to me best.
Hey, you know, let's talk about that fantastic patent you have.
Okay.
I have it here in front of me.
You know, this is the kind of thing that you think... boy, I should probably start this differently, because if I'm going to complain about this, people are going to come to my house and tear it down and beat me to death. I have a photo shoot this afternoon for Playboy. So I'm going to go into my hot tub with a naked Playboy model, and I will be posing for pictures. Now, they have me in a suit. She'll be naked, and I will be in a suit. And I guess they're putting me in the suit. I can't decide whether it's for comedic reasons or aesthetic reasons.
Safety.
could be safety, could be comedic, could be aesthetic. I don't know. But I'm going to be in the suit. And they said they don't have that much budget. The original plan that was given was I would be in the hot tub with three naked women. But apparently they don't have the budget. It'll just be one naked woman. I guess maybe because the premium for being naked with Benjulet is more money than they thought. They also have to buy a suit because I'm going to ruin the suit because I'm going to be in the hot tub with it.
Okay.
And the reason this is that I wrote an article for Playboy about my invention. Now, I'm going to start talking about my invention, and I have to talk about it very circumscribed. I have to be very careful, mostly because I am not a heavy-set African-American woman named after one of the Marx Brothers backwards. If my name were Oprah, I could tell you in detail.
And laugh about it.
But apparently, you know, one of the founders of the Constitution, the founders of our country, the authors of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, one of the biggest ideas, and this is tying it, watch, I'm tying these together, this is also patriotism. One of the biggest ideas of the country was that nobody was above the law, that you could prosecute, and we've seen that. I mean, we've seen that in our history many times. You can prosecute somebody who is president of the United States. You can prosecute anybody. The laws all apply to everyone. That's one of the basic ideas. More basic, I think, than freedom of speech is the idea that the laws apply to everybody equally, that there is nobody who's above the law. That's changed, you know, the Constitution and the... government is a living, breathing thing that grows, and now it turns out Oprah Winfrey is above the law. She can say whatever she wants on her show, but anybody else under FCC rules would get busted. So if I were on Oprah and I wanted to talk about my patent, I could talk in loving detail and normal words. But here I have to be rather circumspect because my patent is a sexual patent. It's not a rainbow party patent, but it's a, you know, it's not a salad tossing patent, all the stuff Oprah digs, but it is a very straightforward patent for a, what I call a Jill Jet. Now, Jill is the first four letters of my last name, J-I-L-L, and then Jet. Jill Jet is the name of it. And it wasn't my idea. I was down at the I was down at the shuttle launch.
You stole it.
Stole the idea. Yeah. I was down at a shuttle launch. I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't think I give her name in the article, so I won't give her name here. But I was down at a shuttle launch in Florida with a showbiz woman, one of my favorite performers, and we were down there together to see a space launch go off. It was actually. I went through a period of time where I was taking celebrities to see shuttle launches. I took Lou Reed down. We saw a shuttle launch. You know, because there's nothing more beautiful than a shuttle launch. The great thing about a shuttle launch is there's been a lot of talk about comedy timing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about, you know, Carson's timing being just impeccable, Jack Benny's timing being just perfect. I happen to think Gilbert Gottfried and Stephen Wright are right up there with timing. And it's like Sinatra's phrasing. You know, it's real, and yet it's very hard to describe and label why that phrasing is perfect. Also, I happen to think Bob Dylan's phrasing is right up there with Sinatra's. More eccentric, more overt. More obvious, but still has a subtlety within that. But people talk about comedy timing. What's funny? And the answer is, and I can answer this, comedy timing is the difference, is the exact difference between the speed of sound and the speed of light over a three-mile distance. you can lay that right
out. You have a mathematical equation for what comedy timing
is. Sure I do. That's amazing. The reason is that if you're in the VIP section of the shuttle launch, and where else would I be in the VIP section? You're about 3 miles away from where it lifts off, where the big rocket lifts off. And you're looking across kind of a pond, and it's a very pastoral scene. It's beautiful. And then a ways away, there's a rocket, you know, sitting there getting ready to go. And on a pad, but there's birds. Right. That's my bird impersonation. My Tom Cruise is actually better than my bird impersonation. It's sitting across there on the launch pad. And you're sitting there with your friends, you know. And
you're sitting there with your friends. I'm
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Now, the speed of sound is about,
186,000?
No, that's speed of light.
No, 186,000. So, sound is,
Yes, 660 miles an hour.
670. Yeah.
Sound is slow.
It's pokey.
Very slow.
Downright pokey. Compared to light.
186,000 miles per second. Very fast. 600, because it depends, you know, light is just absolute, you know, unless you're in like a vacuum with all the all the electrons lined up and stuff. But who does that?
Right.
I've never even done that. I don't even waste any of my time lining up electrons to make the speed of light go a little bit faster. 186,000 miles per second, fast enough for Penn Jillette. That's all you're going to know, okay? Sound is pokey. You know, you can beat sound in a jet. You know, I was on the Concorde. I went like Mach 4 or something, right? Over to England. Sure. Why would you go to England? If you got to go to England, go on the Concorde, but just come back
as quickly as you can.
Yeah, don't spend any time in England. It's horrible. You know, if in England, if you want to have sexual relations with a full set of teeth, you need three women at once. Yeah, so don't go there. But I went, you know, three times the speed of sound. So sound is pokey. So you're sitting there, standing actually, because you're so excited. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And then it says, you know, liftoff. And you hear, what you see is you see this explosion of smoke coming out the side. You know, if you go to like IMAX and stuff, they widen the screen. It is just this white, foamy, gorgeous smoke that just spews out. And in the center of the smoke, at the bottom of the rocket, it looks like you're looking at welding. That's how bright it is. It is so bright that you're looking at welding. And this is 3 miles away, and someone looks like they're welding in the room. Welding with this marshmallow fluff, smoke pouring out, and this power and this glory. And there's no sound. You just hear like crickets, and you hear the birds chirping. And there is this huge, bright explosion that you see, and you hear nothing. And you have exactly the amount of time to go, huh. I thought there'd be some noise. And then it is the loudest noise you've ever seen. That noise, like when the Ramones first kick it, like in a small club, and it's like a baseball bat in your chest, you know, just that boom. It just hits you, and it's just an explosion, you know, and it's that amount of time. It's a difference between 186,000 miles per second and 650 miles an hour over a 3 mile range is comedy timing, because then you laugh. You laugh with the pure glory of human power that mankind is able to put people into space, and there it is, two different speeds coming across at you. But that moment, I mean, you can get to see a lot of the smoke go out there before you hear a thing except the stupid frogs and the birds and stuff, because it's a very pastoral place.
So two seconds.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Something
close. Yeah, that's about the time I did, right?
Yeah.
Huh, you'd think there'd be a lot of... That's about 2 seconds. There'd be a lot of noise. So I was down there in Florida to watch a space launch with this wonderful woman, one of the sexiest women who ever lived, and smartest and terrific. And she went out in the afternoon to the spa, which was... We're staying in a motel, you know, Florida motel in Central Florida. So, I mean, it's just like a pretty cheesy hotel. And I was staying inside reading, because that's the kind of guy I am. And she was out at the spa. She got into the jacuzzi. And she came back, and I cannot, because I'm not Oprah Winfrey, I cannot quote her, because she speaks like an adult. So she said there was a lot of obscenity. I mean, just a cloud of CBGB obscenity just flowing over. But she was complaining that she was trying to use the jet of the jacuzzi to pleasure herself. And because jacuzzis are designed by men who don't know, on and on and on thing, about on and on and on thing, she had to have her leg in a very unladylike position. She had to turn herself entirely around toward the jet. And at that time, like a 9-year-old boy was walking by and caught her in the middle of both legs hanging over and almost drowning, trying to get her private parts over the jet. And then she says, and I'm the slut, right? I'm the slut, not the guy who designed this. And she's screaming at me. Now, a lesser man would have, of course, said, well, you know, baby, you don't need a jacuzzi jet with me around. But me, the more advanced man, said, you know, I could make money on this. So when I built my house.
Thus was born.
Thus was born the Jill Jet. I designed to put one of the jacuzzi jets in a seat. In a seat, so that you could sit in a ladylike position and get filled with warm, vibrating pleasure. That was the plan. And so we went to my architect went to the spa manufacturer and said, Mr. Gillette would like a specially placed jet, and he would like it to be there to pleasure a woman. And the guy, and this is true, the spa builder said, so you want the jet about halfway back of the seat, pointing straight up? And there was a very long pause, and my architect said, well, no, we were thinking about the front of the seat about a 45-degree angle. So I figure we'll be getting flowers from the guy's wife.
It hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. And we put the jet in, and then the first few astronauts on the Jill Jet were women, showgirls. We brought showgirls over, had them get in the tub, and man, we had
testing.
Ignition and liftoff like crazy. It was just fabulous. So after that, friends of mine who would come and visit, women friends of mine, and I have one friend who's in the Senate, a male, who enjoyed sitting on it for his own purposes, but I never understood that, but he's the only man that's enjoyed it, and he is in the Senate, so I can't say his name. But women were in, I mean, fast, too. Fast, fast. I mean, just efficient. I mean,
a time saver.
A time saver. I don't know.
Only
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if your major goal in sex is efficiency. But if that's even on the list, if efficiency is even on the list, I really am the Louis Pasteur of sex. So I built this into the seat. And then, and this is the part where it gets cool. And believe me, it's going to get really cool. By the way, if you want to read along with this, it's patent number 5920923 Gillette, J-I-L-L-E-T-T-E, the hydrotherapeutic stimulator is what it is. If you want to read along, because some people think I make stuff up, you can go to Wikipedia if you want to do it fast. Just look up Penn Gillette in Wikipedia, J-I-L-L-E-T-T-E, and they have a link right there to the real patent page. Or you can just find the patent on your own if you think I'm able to control Wikipedia and put in a phony link because I'm jiving you or something. So, a friend of mine, who's a very, I won't say his name either, very wealthy computer guy, inventor, well known, he's here with his wife, and his wife Having a sip of tea. His wife is very enamored, and that's exactly the right word. Not the word that Oprah would use, but the right word. She's very enamored of the Jill Jet, and she enjoys it. I mean, when they come to visit, the two of them, we want to go out to dinner. She has to go out to the Jill Jet first, pay her respects, then we can go out to dinner.
Good thing you're saving all that time.
Sure, it's efficient.
So
it's efficient.
Time thing comes into play.
So
here,
we're sitting in the hot tub one night watching his wife, and he says to me, you know, do you have a patent on this? And I go, you can't get a patent on just putting a jet in a seat. And he goes, yes, you can. Now, he has a zillion patents. And I have a friend who has a patent for the idea of Windows, you know, asynchronous Windows on a computer. That's his patent. And I have another friend that's a patent for this thing that saves people with liver damage, you know, saves lives, like hundreds of millions, of, not hundreds
sure.
of millions, I made that number up. Dozens of lives saved by this. So I have friends, you know, in our circle of friends,
yes.
we have several people with patents.
I have several applications in.
Applications
pending.
In.
It's pending.
Applications in.
It takes
I have
two,
a patent.
It takes 2 years, as
yeah,
you know.
And I have a patent. Okay.
You started 2 years before me.
Yeah, I sure did. Many more than 2 years before you. Who knows what pending ones I have. We're not talking pending. We're talking actual. So he says to me, and I said,
I expect to be among this group soon.
Good. I say, you can't get a patent. And he goes, oh, yeah, I bet you can. So I call up my friend who calls himself the Dream Buster.
Dream Killer.
Dream Killer. He's the Dream Killer in D.C. He does patent searches. And people come to him all the time, and they pay him money for these great ideas. And he tells them there's not a chance. So before, he's just giddy when I tell him I may have a patent, because he is going to crush my hopes like the insignificant little insects springing from my soul they really are. And he says, oh, you've got an idea for a patent? Great. How much are you going to pay me to tell you that? Someone else has already got it. And I go, I'll pay a usual fee. Here's my idea. And I run the idea by him. It's a Jill Jet. And he goes, huh. And it turns out that if you want to clean sexual parts, there's very few, especially for females. So I want to have a T-shirt that says, I care, Jill Jet, you know, and my patent number. I care. And he did a search, and then he said, it looks like this is a real patent. He comes back to me, and I hire a patent attorney, and it takes 2 years, but some of us get ideas when we're young, so I had this for a while, and I have patent number 5920923, hydrotherapeutic stimulator, named the Jill Jet, because Jill is the first four letters of my last name, and also Jill is, you know, lesbian slang for things that Oprah could talk about, but we can't, and I wrote this article up that I just explained to you here.
Yes.
Pretty much, this is the article that I wrote for Playboy, what I just said. And they want to take a picture to go with the article.
And now later on, there are going to be, there was going to be three.
There was going to be three. And now there's going to be one woman sitting.
And a llama.
Sitting on, not, no llama. There's no llama. One woman sitting on the Jill Jet.
The llama turned you down too? That's so sad.
And I'm going to talk, we're also going to talk about what is patriotism. We got stuff to talk about Holland. I also want still somebody wants to watch that Lennon seance thing and report it on the show. This is kind of a contest now. If you win, you get donuts and you get to see the Penn and Teller show. Probably the Lance Burton show too.
Probably.
And but that's all coming up after this. We have so much more to talk about. This is Penn Jillette, patent owner, and Michael Goudeau, who has a few patents pending. May or may not go through. But I have one. 5920923 hydrotherapeutic stimulator. Patriotism Tuesday. Patented Patriotism Tuesday. I want to get to the patriotism thing, but there's a Gmail I want you to read about Johnny Thompson.
Some magicians think that Johnny Thompson has...
Is there a headline to this?
Johnny Thompson, American stud.
I want to hear that. Go ahead.
Well, you just wanted to hear that part. He's shown in The Aristocrats. I'm just telling you. Some magicians think that Johnny Thompson divorced Pam due to his being in The Aristocrats in a hot tub with some hot chick.
All right. Johnny Thompson did not divorce Pam.
They're
and
they're
Pam
still married.
Not divorced Johnny Thompson. They're together and very happy. Johnny Thompson is, I think, the most important American magician right now. Johnny Thompson does a lot of work with us, which, of course, is not enough to make him the most important. He does an awful lot of work with Lance. I don't think you'd have Lance Burton's routine, the Dove routine at the top, up to the snuff it is. Of course, also Channing. who died a couple days ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a real Channing Pollock, one of the finest magicians to have ever lived. Just died a couple
days
ago.
First guy to use doves in his act, as far as
I
know.
And also a good friend of Johnny's.
Yes.
And they worked together. And I think Lance would agree with this. I don't mean any disrespect for Lance. I mean respect for Channing Pollock. I don't think without Channing Pollock you would have Lance Burton.
I believe Lance would openly acknowledge that.
Yeah. Johnny. He works with Chris Angel. He works with us and does a wonderful act on his own with his wife, who he's still with. But he is in our movie, The Aristocrats, and he is in the movie telling the joke next to a 19-year-old giggling young woman who is sitting on the Jill Jet while he's telling the joke. And it is perhaps the funniest moment of The Aristocrats for, I think, from a directorial point of view, because it is a movie that is not even rated. It's so funny. Far beyond X. The language is so dirty. Oh, Oprah could get away with it, of course, in a G movie. But for the rest of adults, we have to say it's beyond X. There is every obscenity possible many, many times. That word that you can't say in front of your wife 23 times in the movie. This is the only place. She is, both Johnny and the woman are naked in the hot tub. And her breasts are pixelated out. We pixelated out her breasts because he wanted to be able to say no nudity, unspeakable obscenity. So there's no violence, no nudity, unspeakable. Don't be so sad, Happy Jack. We have the raw footage and you can see it because you're in with the in crowd now. Yeah. But for Johnny. But it had no effect whatsoever on Johnny and Pam's relationship. They are grown-ups. So that's the story of my patent.
If someone points out here that the government took away Marconi's patent on the radio after he was dead. So possibly, you know, public good, they might take the Jill Jett patent away from you after you die.
Over my dead body. All that Happy Jack cares about the Jill Jett patent. Here I am talking about women pleasuring themselves beyond their wildest dreams. That's all. Jack doesn't care at all about that. He only cares. He says, women getting pleasure, what's that to me? That's his attitude. He's single, right? And he says, but he does care if I made any money off the Jill Jett.
That's his question. Did you make money off the Jill Jett?
Well, the fact that I am doing my job, which is radio, and talking about the Jill Jett means I'm making some money off that.
So no,
the
right?
fact that I wrote a Playboy article means, but okay, he keeps holding up this thing. No, not a penny. Have not made a penny on the Jill Jett. But there is a company in, North Carolina, that's talking about putting it out as a real thing, kind of a seat attachment you can hook onto your jacuzzi hose and comes around, and so we might actually make some money in the future. As a matter of fact, and this kills me. This is all you need to know about jugglers. My wife was at a party with Jason Garfield years ago, the juggler who did the Chris Bliss parody with Five Balls.
Right.
JasonGarfield.com, if you want to see that video. He's an amazing juggler. And he was having a party over his home I guess it was his birthday, but it was all jugglers. It was lousy with jugglers. So I didn't go. My wife went. She likes jugglers. And there was a guy holding court. Now, he did not know. She was not my wife at the time. But we were dating. But nobody at the party knew that she was involved with me or knew me. And no one at the party knew that Jason knew me. So it was all just people talking. And somehow, I guess because I'm a juggler, my name came up and they were discussing it. And one of the jugglers there was kind of holding court. He knew everything about the juggling world. And he said, and man, do I love this. He said that, you know, Penn made a lot of money in Penn and Teller, and he's been very successful. But most his money comes from his patent for the Jill Jett. He invented this device, and he's made most his money off that. When you see his nice house and how much money he has, it's mostly from that. And my wife, because she's the coolest person in the world, didn't say a word. She just went on and went, oh, really? Went on in this. So I would much rather people think that whatever measly amount of money I have has come from my invention, the Jill Jet.
Yeah, that was me at the party.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm glad she didn't tell you it was me.
Now, you said on your way over, you were listening to McDonald's radio.
Yeah, I was listening to McDonald's radio.
I'm sorry,
radio.
NPR.
Yes.
Called McDonald's radio. Yeah. Joan Kroc. Gave 200 and something, 240 million something. I'm making up numbers. But you know you're listening to Penn Jillette on Free FM, and freedom means stupidity, and stupidity means making up facts. So she gave $248 million to NPR.
Right.
And the funny thing is, you know, NPR, which operates on some government money, which is our money taken from taxes, they didn't say, hey, you know, we got a lot of money just given to us by Joan Kroc, so we're going to give some of the money back to the government, and that can go back to tax. No, didn't even mention that.
Maybe they'll just cut the 2 weeks of a month of the fun drive.
I don't think they will.
No, you think they're going?
But it's now McDonald's radio, and if you listen to NPR, and who does, you know, they have corporate ads all the time.
Yes.
You know, brought to you by Burger King. Brought to you by Death to the Environment.
Yes.
And they always, the other thing NPR,
a grant.
And I've been
a
on
grant.
NPR.
It was not, they didn't buy it. It was a grant from the Exxon Corporation.
Grant from the Exxon Corporation. And I've been on NPR a zillion times, you know, all things considered in those shows. And what they do is they roll off the high end. Like, you listen to my voice, and I have this, I have a damaged voice from when I worked in the carny. So my voice is damaged, and it's very thick. The spectrum is very thick. And when I do NPR, and if you listen to, I did that This I Believe thing, yeah, which is all about being an atheist, and
sure,
you can download it on their site, NPR's site, This I Believe. I did this big thing on being an atheist, which is really heartfelt, and not even many jokes in it, really. And when I did it, you know, I sounded like this in the room, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you play it back, they roll off all the high end, so you automatically sound liberal. You automatically have that, like, you know, Alan Alda.
They have a filter?
Yeah, they have a filter.
Liberal filter? Is that what you're claiming?
See the way I sound now?
Yes.
You know how there's a high end?
Yeah.
So like on NPR, it's like, This I Believe. I believe there's no God. And there's no high end, there's nothing. It's just it's the Franken filter to make you sound like, remember when Al Franken was like a little bit funny on Saturday Night Live? And then he became a liberal?
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm running for senator. He's not like, you know, this dope. So I'm a dope when I'm on NPR. They roll off all the high end. So McDonald's Radio, you said, which I'm not now going to call it. Everybody should call, you know, everybody should always call it McDonald's Radio from now on. McDonald's Radio.
I think public radio sort of implies that anyway. I think the name public radio.
Yeah. So McDonald's Radio. You heard them talking about what patriotism.
Yeah, what patriotism means, and it seemed like they were just missing it.
What were they saying?
The first guy on said patriotism was just doing whatever your commander-in-chief felt was important or right. And it just seemed like they missed the whole thing.
Obviously isn't NPR's point of view. They're liberal communists, so they're not saying whatever the commander-in-chief says. I mean, this is anti-president radio, so they didn't say that. What did the other people say?
It was the host was agreeing with that. It's so, you know, it was a call-in. The host didn't have any opinion whatsoever.
Hmm.
You know, he's on NPR, he's not allowed to have an opinion. He's just
I think a lot about this, you know, that we do a bit in our show about patriotism, where we burn a flag, which we wouldn't think would be patriotism. But, you know, when we played D.C., I was on G. Gordon Liddy's show, and I said, I know him a little bit, I guess you've had dinner once or something, and I said to Gordon, I said, you know, at our show, we're going to burn an American flag, and you're going to cheer because it's very patriotic. And the whole thing is about how we do magic, and we magically burn the flag and make it reappear. It's like kind of a torn and restored rope, but done with the flag. So it's burned and restored flag. And we put a lot of patriotism on. If you happen to see us on West Wing, we did a whole thing on West Wing where we were the B story, and we had done this trick at the White House and got them in all sorts of trouble. But it does bring up that question of patriotism. And I don't even know. I don't have any idea what patriotism is.
Because I think it's whatever you think will make your country better, which means it means nothing.
Yeah.
The word really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a certain... But see, patriotism doesn't mean just American. You know, you're a patriot of whatever country you live in. So I would like to say that patriotism is... I subscribe, you know, very strongly to the Bill of Rights and to the Constitution. And I would think that... That's part of it. But if I lived in another country, it wouldn't be that. Patriotism would be different. So we're going to take some calls on that. 866-313-FREE-3733. Usually I have a strong opinion, and then people can call up and argue with me. Here I don't really have one. I'm a little bit at a loss. So call up and tell me what patriotism is or isn't. PennRadio@gmail.com. Love you all, and I have a pat. Two things are happening in my courtyard right now. My mother-in-law is pushing the perambulator with her granddaughter, my daughter, in it, and the Playboy people are setting up the shoot right in the same place. So it's all happening in the courtyard. I'm going to report back tomorrow. Don't worry. I'll report back tomorrow on every single detail of the Playboy shoot. But don't get your hopes up, because we have worked with professional naked women before, and when professional people get naked, fun goes away.
It you know, is just professional.
Now, when we shoot on Bull's Hit, we shoot on that show. We've both been naked on that show, both me and Teller. And when we're naked, fun's a coming. All you know, it's just we just have a blast. But when there's people that are professional and that's what they do for a living is get naked, it gets very, very businesslike, you know. And they all stumble what they agreed upon. Well, I didn't think I'd have to walk over to the set naked, you know. when they said naked, I thought they just meant topless, you know. And they have all these qualms. And I hope the Playboy model isn't like that, because it just slows things down if she's wearing a robe in the tub until the last second. But we'll see. I'll report all back tomorrow, but now we're on the patriotism jag. But first, I want to talk about two things. One is that there's this horrible John Lennon seance show, which is April 24th.
Yes.
April 24th, it's horrible. And I am imploring everyone who listens to this show, ask you a personal favor, and that is do not watch. Do not watch under any circumstances, not for a goof, not for anything, do not watch the John Lennon seance pay-per-view. Do not watch it. But I would like to find one person from our listeners, and you don't have to be in Vegas, except you have to be in Vegas on the 25th, which is the day after. If you're going to be in Vegas the 25th, then you can watch on the 24th. I will pay for you to have the pay-per-view Lennon thing. I'll also pay for your snacks that night. We will give you tickets to Penn and Teller, give you tickets to Lance Burton, and then we'll give you a limo from wherever you are, bring you out to the Slammer, which is my house. You come on the show. We'll give you donuts, lots of Krispy Kreme donuts, the raspberry glazed, Elvis's favorite donut. We'll put a microphone up for you, and we will interview you about the Lennon show so that all the people listening do not have to listen. So if you think the person to give the Lennon report that day, PennRadio@gmail.com. Yeah, write a little essay.
We have a couple of essays already. They're pretty good.
And I'm going to read a few of them on the air. We'll let the people decide, call in, see what they think of who should be the one to do it. And if they want, and if they have somebody that they want, if they have a friend or they themselves want to go out before or after the show and use the Jill Jett to warm up a bit for the show, you're welcome to do that as well. Jill Jett, donuts, Penn and Teller, Lance Burton, microphone, snacks, free Lennon thing. But you have to be good at reporting. I want to do the whole show the next day on it.
Really?
So you'll have to be taking notes the whole time. So we can ask you any questions and you can answer it. We want to know what the song is. Maybe, you know, one of the things you could say in your essay is if you're able to plunk out a song on a guitar and can learn it and do
or
it
a keyboard,
for it.
Sure.
All that stuff would be just fabulous. It doesn't have to be guitar, exactly. It could even be recorder. You know, it says, you know, keyboard. Anything.
We'll
but that's the Lennon thing. I also want to point out that we scooped, as you all know, this was big news, we scooped Drudge. We reported on the abortion thing
Molly saved the day
4 years before he did. And now we have scooped Holland. For those of you who have listened to the show, we had Bacon and a Kiss Airlines, which was where you would go. My airline idea was because so many dangerous fanatics hate bacon and hate gay sex, that when you got in an airplane, you didn't have to be searched, nothing. All you had to do was have a mouthful of bacon, and then you had to lean over and, no sex act, but just enough so that Allah would frown on you and send you forever to Muslim hell. Muslim hell, I believe, is Pittsburgh. Just so you would, you'd be all ready for that. And so it was Bacon and a Kiss Airlines. And I talked about Bacon and a Kiss Airlines forever. And then, lo and behold, the Dutch have ripped off my idea and used it for immigration. Mr. Goodell with the news, read the report. I want to say, first of all, This is from one report on AP, so this could easily be some sort of news hoax.
Media hoax.
Could be a media hoax.
Easily be a media
hoax.
But
as far as we can tell, this might be true.
Direct from Amsterdam, Netherlands, the camera focuses on two gay men kissing in a park. Later, a topless woman emerges from the sea and walks onto a crowded beach.
Tell it slow.
For would-be immigrants to the Netherlands, this film is a test of their readiness to participate in the liberal Dutch culture. If they can't stomach it, no need to apply.
Oh, that's great. did they try to get a patent on this? Did Holland try to get a patent on this?
I don't believe they've applied for the patent.
Okay.
You should have.
Bacon and the Kiss Airlines. So if you want to go
immigrants,
to Holland.
Right. Immigrants wishing to settle in the Netherlands, in particular for the purposes of marrying or forming a relationship, will be required to take the civic integration examination.
And that includes
watching the video.
Wow. That is a great, great idea. You know, that's really, that will give your huddled masses something to think about, you know.
Not everyone's happy with the new test, apparently.
Who's against it? Who's against it?
The lobbying group for mixed Dutch immigrant couples. Today is a black day for the people intending to bring their partners to Holland.
Now, what troubles me about this is that the fee for immigration is $420.
Yes, the
exam. And 420 is the slang for chronic, for marijuana.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why that is. It was supposed to be police code in California or something. There's all sorts of theories on why 420 is the marijuana code. But the $420 looks like it could be something
part of the key for the media hoax.
Yeah, could be part of that. So, but if it is an idea, it's a great idea. I mean, I think the people coming into the U.S. should have part of our culture. If you can't get down, heavily with, you know, with Elvis and
Freedom of the Press, maybe.
And Debbie Harry and Blondie, and you can't like South Park and The Simpsons, and you can't dig Letterman, you know what I mean? If that's not going to be part of what you want, that is part of our country. That is part of patriotism. And speaking of which, am I getting good at this radio thing? And speaking of which, let's take a few phone calls on patriotism.
I think we need to talk to Tony on line 8.
Hey, Tony, lay it on me, boss. How you doing, Tony?
Hi, Dan. It's nice to talk to you. I love your show.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Real quick, I just thought my feeling on patriotism is it's just the feeling of love and more pride than anything in your country. Just the thought that, you know, everything that your country stands for, whether it be this country or somebody else's country, it works the same way, but that everything your country stands for, you know, you believe in, and you're not everything, but I mean, obviously you're just proud of being a part of this country and you're willing to sacrifice
cultural?
For it and all these other things.
Is it cultural or is it the government? Is it the government or is it cultural?
Are you still there, Penn?
I'm here. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, your volume's extremely low, but is there any way I could touch on religion real quick before my cell phone dies?
No, I want to stay on patriotism right now.
Okay.
But call in again, Tony, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay.
You're having a little trouble. I don't want your cell phone to die while you're on the air here. Do you have another patriotism call?
We have a lot of patriotism Gmails, but also we have a call on line 5. Let's talk to Brendan in line 5.
Hey, Brendan, man. This is Penn. How you doing, boss?
Hey, Penn. You're the best. How you doing?
Thank you so much. What's up, Brendan?
So I have a different outlook than the left caller. I think if you use logic and you apply atheism and nihilism together with logic, it's only one answer, and that is that a true patriot would be a rebel for the sole reason that no government is concrete. It's always temporary. There is no utopian society, physically impossible. And you combine those together, and you realize that rebellion against the contemporary government of the time would be the only true patriot.
Whatever that government is.
Yes.
Whatever the government is, you're rebelling against it.
It doesn't make sense, but, you know, in reality,
it's certainly true that the original patriots, the founding fathers, could not have been more rebels. But they were rebels against English rule. They weren't rebels against that. And what is it that Jefferson said? Every 20 years, water patriotism with the
tree of patriotism, yeah,
with the blood of patriots. So you're certainly right in line with the founding fathers. I mean, Thomas Jefferson wanted a violent revolution every few years in the country. So there is a point of view on that. I just don't know. You know, I've been been to other countries, and when I'm in other countries, when I was in Europe, when I was in Egypt, when I was in China, I felt I felt a huge amount of pride for the U.S., but I don't know what the pride was for. The pride seemed to be not at all for the government or our militarism, but there was a pride of Elvis. There was a pride of Bob Dylan. You know, it's just stupid, because I'm not part of those people.
It's still a circumstance of birth, though.
It's a circumstance of birth, exactly.
And so it's crazy to be proud of it.
Yeah, so you're kind of siding with this rebellion thing, Gita?
I don't know. I don't know what we've... It just seems crazy. It seems that it's whatever your opinion of patriotism is.
Yeah.
I don't think the word has any meaning.
At all. Or I think the meaning it may have may be a bad meaning. You know, if you're going to get that tribal stuff that gives you pride at where you were born, that might be a really, really dangerous thing. But thanks a lot, Brendan. You got Gmails there?
We have someone, Trishal sent us a bunch of quotes about patriotism.
Yeah, well, lay them on us.
Bertrand Russell, patriotism is the willingness to kill and be killed for trivial reasons.
Oof, okay. Bertrand Russell, you know, someone wrote in and said, why don't we ever talk about Bertrand Russell as a big atheist? And he was really important. His book, Why I'm Not a Christian, is a really important book. He's a great guy. And Bertrand Russell is the one that I think he did. Is this, I'm telling the right story, right? I don't know if it's the right person. He did time, a brief amount of time in prison. He was talking to the jailer, and the jailer said to him, what religion are you? And he said, I'm an atheist. And the jailer said, well, it doesn't make any difference. We all believe in the same God. read another one of the quotes.
George Bernard Shaw.
Uh-huh.
Patriotism is your conviction that this country is superior to all other countries because you were born in it.
Because?
Because you were born in it.
Uh-huh.
That's the way George talks.
It's a good little person.
Let's see. Who else we got? George Patton. Don't be a fool and die for your country. Let the other son of a bitch die for his.
Yeah.
And Samuel Johnson. Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel.
And then Ambrose Bierce
said
that with all due respect, it's actually the first refuge of a scoundrel. Isn't that what he said in the Devil's Dictionary?
No.
Not very many positive things about patriotism being sent in. I mean, I don't know, because I feel it. You know, that's the nutty thing. I don't have any of that God stuff. I have no God stuff whatsoever. And yet, although it's the same kind of circumstance of birth and everything, I do feel, I mean, even a Sousa march, I feel some sort of stirring. And I maybe it is just the culture. I don't know. We have time for another call. You look like
okay,
you
yeah, sure.
have to get that
Let's
happy
talk to
good
line
time
eight.
For a call.
Let's talk to Kara on line eight.
Hey, Kara. What's up, boss?
Oh.
Kara?
Yes, hi. How are you?
How you doing? Real well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm on a break from class right now, and I was listening to your discussion on patriotism.
It's going
to
be pretty fast. We've got like 15 seconds.
What?
We got 15 seconds, so you have to go
okay,
fast.
I just think everyone's losing their sight on patriotism since they're against Bush and what the government's doing. It's more about having respect for the past things that people have done, like our grandparents fighting in wars that they believed in, and that people coming from other countries, they can grasp those kind of concepts because, you know, you don't have to be a part of it, but you could believe in it. So
you think
that's
it's more,
what patriotism is about.
It's more historical. It's more historical.
Yeah, it's more of a historical thing. Like, you don't have to be from this country, but you can respect the things that we've done in the past to bring us
okay,
to this moment.
I'm going to have to cut you off a little bit, Carrots, just because of time, believe me. This is Ben Gillette, Michael Goodell, talking about patriotism and patents in Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, we love you all. We really do.